Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. Sometimes the Bible can be a bit confusing, so we bust it down like a fraction. We're asking questions along the way. Questions like, what do these Gospels have to do with me? That's what I want to know. How can I take these Gospels and apply them into my daily living so that I can become a reflection of God's love to a world that doesn't know God and definitely is in deep need of more love, don't you think? I mean, take a look around. There's a lot of bad news bears out there. How can I take the good news of Jesus Christ as presented in His Gospels and apply them into my daily living so that I can become, well, I want to be light in this present darkness. I want to be a tool in the hand of God making present His kingdom, not someday, but today and every day. And that's what this show is all about. And I'm so glad you could join us today. Oh, we got a good one. But before we get into it, it is time for viewer mail. Our first letter coming from Carolyn. Dear Father Chapin, please excuse my tacky notepaper. Well, it's not that bad. I live in the dark ages with no computer or big girl phone. I'm sorry that you lost your good friend Charlie. Yeah, I am too. I miss him every day. Indeed, we owe him a big thank you for his sponsorship and encouragement. I know I do. Your Daily Living show is a pure delight. The talent you have for singing into the Bible is a gift. Well, thank you. Your sense of humor and great phraseology makes me wish for a daily dose of Daily Living. Thank you for sharing, Carolyn. Well, thank you, Carolyn. Our next letter coming from Brad, and he's in Kansas. Dear Father Chapin, I was so sorry to hear the passing of your friend Charlie. Your story about him getting you on television made me think about the stories in the Bible about God putting people in our lives. Well, he certainly did with him. And I'm so thankful for your media ministry, which is possible because of Charlie. God bless you, Brad. P.S. I have found out that you have several listeners in Kansas. Well, hello, Kansas. Let's see, we got time for one more. How about Susan? She's out of Ohio. Dear Father Chapin, I discovered your show on TV. I love it. Please send me the monthly newsletter. Now, if you choose to support Daily Living, you get a newsletter. Now, I know there's a lot of boring newsletters out there, but this is not your typical newsletter. This is like a personal letter, like from a friend. It's basically what's going on in my life behind the scenes. And of course, Stormy the Cat features prominently in the newsletter. You should consider it. What do you say? We quit yipping and we get right into our gospel today. We're going to school, my friend. Are you ready to be the student? One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, which is the first of all the commandments? Jesus replied, the first is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. The scribe said to him, well said, teacher. You are right in saying he is the one, and there is no other than he. And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered with understanding, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And no one dared to ask him any more questions. The gospel of the Lord. And what a gospel it is, my friend. This is a deep pool. There's a whole lot in here. Call in the kids. It's going to be good. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back. And we're going to talk about this gospel. Like I said, there's a whole lot here. As soon as we get back here as we consider God's word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living. And together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. So today we find Jesus on the eve of his passion, which is an interesting word, you know, passion. When I think about that word passion, I think about words like dedication, obsession. Take, for example, the professional golfer. They will play week in, week out, living out of hotels, oftentimes spending months away from their family. And they're practicing all the time, hitting thousands of golf balls to get to this level. I remember years ago, I had the opportunity to meet Sir Nick Faldo. And we got to talking, and he told me that as he was growing up, and I don't know if that was England or Scotland or where he grew up, but as he was growing up, between the ages of 15 and 20, all he did every day was hit golf balls. I mean, that was it. I mean, he didn't date. He didn't listen to music. He didn't hang out with friends. All he did for all those years was hit golf balls. Why would anybody ever do that? Passion. Consider the Olympic gymnast who does a floor routine. How long does that floor routine last? 2-3 minutes maybe? But there are thousands of hours behind that routine. Why? Passion. Once upon a time, the great Pablo Picasso was having dinner in a fancy restaurant in New York City. And a lady approached his table with a napkin and a pen, and asked whether he would draw something on the napkin. So Pablo took the napkin with the pen and quickly scribbled a sketch and gave it back to her. The woman said, "How much do I owe you?" Pablo said, "Don't worry about it." She said, "Oh no, Mr. Picasso, I insist. I must pay you. How much?" So he looked at her and he said, "Okay, $10,000. She said, "$10,000? But it only took you a few seconds to sketch that." He responded, "Ma'am, it took me a lifetime." Passion. Today, Jesus is on the eve of his own passion, which, in case you're wondering, is all about you. He knows that his end is at hand. Now, imagine for a moment that you've just been told by your doctor that you've got a week to live. You better get your affairs in order and walked out the room. So I imagine you would gather your family and your friends and people that you love, people that you really care about. What would you say? What would you want to talk about? I doubt you would want to talk about the weather. I doubt you would want to talk about the game or your stock portfolio. What would you want to talk about? Wouldn't you want to talk about the most important of things? Wouldn't you want to talk about the things that you are most passionate about? This is where we find Jesus today. His earthly mission is soon to come to an end. And these are his parting words. This is what he is most passionate about. So, before we get into our gospel today, let's do what we always do and put it in context. Where are we? Well, we're in the 12th chapter of Mark. What's going on? Well, Jesus is under attack by the religious leadership. They're going after him. They don't like him. They're trying to trap him in his own words. They're trying to discredit him. It all began with, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? And when they asked Jesus this question, he asked them to present him with the coin. It's called a denarii. And he asked, whose image is on this coin? They said, Caesar's. And so Jesus said, repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God. Which brings up a couple of things. First of all, who is the image that is imprinted on you? Well, let me give you a hint. Let us make man in our own image. And secondly, how do we in fact pay back to God what is God's? What would that look like? Well, my friends, our gospel today answers that very question. Now, the next up to bat to try to discredit Jesus are the Sadducees. Now, the Sadducees are a very interesting lot, a very small elite group of people, clerics. But don't let their numbers fool you. They had incredible power and influence over the nation of Israel. They came from the wealthiest of families, and they acted as a bridge between the Pharisees, who were the religious arm of the nation, and the Herodians, who were the political arm of the nation. And let me tell you, they benefited financially greatly from these people. We can think of them as the fat cats in the back room, smoking cigars, secretly running the show. Okay, now the thing about the Sadducees that distinguished them from everybody else is that unlike the high priests and the Pharisees and the scribes, they didn't believe in a resurrection. They believed that when you died, it was over. They did not believe in a life after death. And that's why they were sad, you see? But regardless of the fact that they don't believe in a resurrection, and of course everybody knows this, they pose a ridiculous question to Jesus about the resurrection. A theological riddle, if you will. Teacher, if a woman marries seven brothers who all die before she does, when she gets to heaven, who is she married to? Really? Remember that one? They are asking about a resurrection that they themselves don't believe in. Why? Because they're trying to trap Jesus in his words. But of course, it doesn't work. And without getting into the details of exactly what Jesus said, he runs them off like scalded dogs and the fools that they are. So, batter up. We got somebody saying, hey, should we pay taxes to Caesar? Strike one. Batter up. We got somebody coming out there saying seven brothers who all die after they marry the black widow. Strike two. Now we have our third up to bat. Let's talk about our gospel today. One of the scribes approached Jesus and asked, what is the first of all the commandments? Now today we are in the Gospel of Mark, which we know does not give us a lot of detail. But this same story appears in both Matthew and Luke. Matthew tells the same story and describes the scribe as the scholar of the law, which scripture scholars have identified as the Kohen. Now, the Kohen is the ultimate authority in the Torah, or the Torah. He's the scribe. He's the big gun. In Israel, he's kind of like the whole Supreme Court wrapped into one person. Now, there's 613 laws in Judaism, and this guy knows them backwards and forwards better than anybody else in the whole country. So they send him, the big gun, to try to confound Jesus. And he comes to him with respect. And in the other Gospels, he calls him teacher, which is a sign of great respect. Kind of reminds me of Nicodemus. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? Jesus says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Now, you need to understand, this was in no way original. This comes straight out of Deuteronomy. But he's not finished. This is the greatest in the first commandment, and the second one is like it, meaning it's equal. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Again, that's not original either. It comes straight out of Leviticus. But what is original is that he is putting these two together. And I can only imagine when the Pharisees and the scribes, who are desperately trying to discredit him, they heard that first one, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. They're like, oh yeah, I got this. Oh yeah, for sure. I do my prayers. I tithe. I follow the law to the letter. I'm sure they would have been very happy if he had just left it there. But unfortunately for them, he doesn't. Now notice that he says the second one is like it, meaning it's the same. It's the other half of the greatest commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I'm sure that stopped them in their tracks. Love my neighbor as myself. Now, remember, this is not the second commandment. This is part of the greatest commandment. Jesus has been asked, what is the greatest commandment? And he's saying, this is the greatest. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. And how exactly do we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? What does that look like? Well, evidently, according to Jesus, it looks like you loving your neighbor as yourself. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back. And we will continue to talk about this amazing gospel that comes to us here as we consider God's word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Now, just for the break, we were talking all about how when Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was, he responded to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. And how do we do that? We love our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus goes on to say that the whole law and all the prophets depend on these two commandments, meaning everything hangs on these two things. Remember now, he's talking to religious folk. And what he's saying is that everything that you do to try to please God, all 613 laws, all your prayers, all your piety, all your tithing, all of that means nothing if you are not at the same time loving your neighbor as yourself. Now, in Luke's version of the same story, someone in the crowd, who was a lawyer, asked, "And who is my neighbor?" which teed up one of the greatest parables of all time, at least my personal favorite, the Good Samaritan. But back to the question that we posed earlier. What does it look like to repay to God what is God? Well, according to Jesus, it looks like you loving your neighbor as yourself, which at times can be difficult. Why? Well, I can think of two reasons right away. Number one, if you're like me, I love myself a lot. Number two, let's be honest. People can be difficult. I know this because I'm a people and I can be difficult. Now, I know we've talked about this a time or two before, but it bears repeating. The cross has two beams. It's got the vertical beam and the horizontal beam. They both represent relationship. The vertical beam represents my personal relationship with God, me and God. Okay? The horizontal beam represents my relationship with others, me and you. Because I find Jesus in you, hopefully you find Jesus in me. And let me just say that God is the easier part of that equation. It's all these people that'll drive you crazy. But we are called to love all of them, especially the ones who are the most difficult to love. Now remember now, Jesus is staring down Calvary. He knows that the end is fast approaching. So he's talking about the most important of things. And what is the most important of things to Jesus? You loving your neighbor as yourself. Which, like I said, can be sometimes incredibly difficult, especially given the world that we find ourselves living in. We live in a world that feeds not on love, but hate. It's everywhere. I can't even watch television anymore. Everybody's just yelling at everybody else. Everybody's angry. And the one thing about hate, it's very interesting because it unifies and divides at the same time. Groups form around hate. And you know, it wasn't that long ago when an entire nation of very educated people, I mean, and these were religious people, these were civilized people, but the conditions were just right, that an entire nation became unified in hate, which resulted in the most evil event in modern history. We call it the Holocaust. Millions of people were put to death under the banner of hate. That wasn't that long ago. And we should not pretend that this could not happen again, because it could. We need to give back to God what is God's. Jesus is making very clear today that the way that we do this is that we love our neighbor as ourselves. This is the most important of things for Jesus. This is his passion. In fact, he's so passionate about it that he gives his life for it. And yet we live in a world that feeds on hate. If you don't believe that, watch 5 minutes of cable news. It's not news anymore. It's all about, look at what he said or she said or what they did, and let's bring in a panel of experts to talk about why they're so wrong. That's news? Or consider just television programming. Shows like My Friends Murdered Me, The Kiss of Death, Evil, Criminal Minds. Shows that provide you a front row seat as they reenact for you step by step how to rape, torture, and murder. It's total mind pollution. The biggest selling video today that we, you know, that our children are buying is all about how many people you can kill. And you might say, well, Fodacy, it's just a game. And I say, well, you know, once you practice how many people you can kill, how hard is it to kill just one in real life? And all of it hides under the First Amendment. Oh yeah, this is freedom. But it don't feel too free to me. You know, several years back, we saw that video game play out in real life in Las Vegas. A very disturbed man sprayed a crowd from his hotel room with a machine gun. And in the middle of that chaos, loving your neighbor as yourself became real as stories came out of people standing in the middle of gunfire helping the wounded, people running towards the gunfire. No greater love does one have than to lay one's life down for others. That, of course, is an extreme example of loving your neighbor as yourself. But what about just day to day, real life, in my daily living? How can I love my neighbor as myself? Well, unlike hate, which requires nothing but emotion, love is and always has been an action verb. You have to do something. Love is not just an emotion. Love is a decision that begins with you getting out of your own head and considering the needs of the other. We need to learn to push back from a world that is feeding us hate and learn how to love. And please understand, my friends, I'm not telling you to do this. Jesus is telling you to do this. Because just as Caesar's image was imprinted on that Roman coin, the image of God is imprinted on you. So let us give back to God what is God's. And how do we do that? We love our neighbor as ourselves. Yes, my friend, let us learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. The great Christian writer, C.S. Lewis, wrote many books. One of my favorites is called Mere Christianity. And in that book, he wrote, "Do not waste your time wondering if you love your neighbor. Just act as if you did. And soon you will find out one of the great secrets of the universe. When you are behaving as if you love someone, you will presently come to love them." What does that tell us? Well, it tells us, or at least it tells me, that when I'm offended by somebody, when I dislike somebody, rather than becoming unified in hate, maybe I could try to look beyond those things that I dislike, beyond those things of which I disagree, and see if I can find the image of God that is imprinted on them, and then learn how to love that. You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is B1. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin, swinging the bat of truth. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life. And I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.